We had quite an oil price spike on market open. That's right. For a brief, glorious couple of minutes, oil was at nearly $120 a barrel. Apocalyptic, truly. It has since gone down. Now, the only reason it's gone down, see, you can see right here, right now it's down to about 95. The high in the past 24 hours was $119.48. The reason it's gone down is because the United States and the G7 have both opened talks to discharge a portion of their strategic reserve of petroleum. I believe the number they've talked about discharging is somewhere around 400 million barrels, like around 30% of the total amount they have in reserve, about 1.2 billion. So the lowering of the crude oil prices is not in response to a change in what is happening in the Middle East, but rather the potential opening of a new supply line. Bro, tell them about the electricity price electricity price variance in Europe. Yeah, that was pretty nasty. I'd have to find the article though. There were some points where when the gas power plants were turned on in European countries like the Netherlands, where electricity was costing around 450 euros per megawatt hour. It was very inexpensive when solar was active during the day, but when they had to turn on the gas power plants at night, 450 during those high spikes. Electricity is also is already relatively expensive in Europe, though the situation's improving due to the introduction of more and more solar. But pretty bad. Still up 50% in 2 weeks, and we'll keep going after this. The most efficient way to power your home appliances in the EU right now is a home bicycle. You just need to hook that up to a generator. Yeah, God, but if you live in the United Kingdom and you turn on the electric kettle at the wrong time, you are going to generationally bankrupt your family line, okay? Be careful with that, all right? Do not turn on the electric kettle when the sun is down. Okay, you need to pre-boil all of your water. The tea is not worth it, okay? 12 cents on the tea bag, $123 on the electricity to heat it. Sheesh. Iranian military warning of $200 barrels. Yep, it's only gotten worse. Iran has struck oil infrastructure in Bahrain, and Saudi Arabia has shut down some of its oil fields. They would only do that in anticipation of future strikes, and there's no sign that things are stopping anytime soon. Have you seen this data? Yeah, the total number of drones and missiles being deployed by Iran has been lowering over time, for sure. That makes sense. They're nowhere near out of them, but yeah, they are strategically reserving them now because the goal of Iran, their goal is pretty simple. Their goal is if we don't pressure the United States out of the Middle East and Israel to back the fuck off, we will simply keep increasing the price of oil. That's their goal. They're not going to indiscriminately use those weapons. They're using them for targeted strikes. It's basically impossible to protect the entirety of the Middle East from Iranian drone strikes. $200 a barrel oil. Sheesh. Could they please do it without a massive ecological disaster? No. Yeah, I did see this. The recent strike on the recent strike on Tehran's fuel infrastructure, the oil depot that Israel lit up, which was arguably one of the biggest ecological disasters in modern history, by the way, that much oil going up in flames, causing a gigantic black cloud of acrid carcinogenic oil smoke to float above a city of 15 million people. But after that, of course, Iran responds by targeting oil infrastructure around the Middle East. Lindsey Graham, Israeli agent, envoy of the deep state, Jewish supremacist, one presumes, and a lover of all things evil, actually posted saying, "Israel, please be careful. In that regard, please be cautious about what targets you select. Our goal is to liberate the Iranian people in a fashion that does not cripple their chance to start a new and better life when this regime collapses. The oil economy of Iran will be essential to that endeavor." My theory here is that Lindsey Graham is aware of the fact that the only thing that can really stop America and Israel in the Middle East is if oil shocks happen too quickly. Like his point here is, let's do this in a way that doesn't spook everyone out of this invasion, you know? Yeah, don't molest the money too early, right? Like, wait until there are boots on the ground, and then you want to grope the money. Then you want to fondle the money. I personally think Israel should also bomb Venezuelan oil. Let's get things really end times. That's not a bad idea. I think that a fleet of Shahid drones should fly out to Russia, Venezuela, and Alaska, and just really, folks, let's kick this shit into high gear, okay? Let's just light every single oil depot on fire. It's time. It's already kind of too late. The shock already happened. Yes, the shock is going to happen no matter what. Oil prices are going to remain elevated for at the very least months, probably till the end of the year. But it can get worse, and we want it to, because we're evil. We do want it to. We love that carbon tax. Oh, speaking of American politicians who are trying to get Israel and America to engage in this war more strategically, you will never guess which Democratic Senate minority leader implored Trump to begin opening up our strategic reserve of petroleum rather than encouraging Trump to actually end the war with Iran. Schumer calls on Trump to tap the Strategic Petroleum Reserve amid spike in gas prices, saying the Strategic Petroleum Reserve exists for moments exactly like this. When wars and global crises disrupt energy markets, the U.S. has the ability to act, but President Trump and his admin are refusing to do so. Now, why would Schumer say that rather than end the war with Iran, out of curiosity? Again, I'm pitching this question to people who think the Democrats aren't culpable in this as well. Why would Schumer, the Senate leader of the Democrats, say that? Like, come on, man. The only reason he would say this, rather, like, what he is essentially doing here is pro-Trump. You realize that, right? He's saying, we want to keep this war going, so open up these strategic reserves so that there are fewer political consequences to what you're doing with Iran right now. He's advising Trump on the best strategy to mitigate the political cost of war with Iran. He's a massive Zionist? Yeah, is it still like a dual loyalty trope if they were never loyal to the U.S. to begin with? Like, I don't know. It's like, how do you look at this and not think that Schumer has literally no, like, it's insane. And it's not just Schumer. The entire base of Senate Democrats, they all passively enable this by not replacing him as their minority leader. It doesn't even seem like Iran can close the Hormuz, though. What, is this the Greek, the ships that were already stuck in the Gulf are trying to leave now. They're reportedly turning off their transponders before passing through and switch them back on afterwards. That makes sense. Iran can't strike every ship that makes it through, but the threat of Iran striking any ship that goes through is enough. It would only take, like, one oil tanker that's full being struck by a drone to discourage all the rest of them from doing so. My guess is that the tankers that are already in the Gulf are going to try to make a quick exit because otherwise they could be stuck there for months and months and months. Imagine insuring a ship going through. Insurance prices on ships moving through the Gulf have increased by more than 1,000%. A lot of these, you can't even afford to send them through. Trump basically said, don't be pussies, captains, just wing it and sail through. Yep. Strategic petroleum reserve down to 400 million barrels, 20 days of supply. Man, we burned through that shit quick. They've been slowly replenishing it, but as you can see, we're still reeling from the depletion of our strategic reserves following the beginning of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Since then, there have been some purchases, but they've slowed under the Trump administration. What's the 10-year look like? The 10-year for what?
As far as oil prices are concerned, we've surpassed $100 per barrel, rose more than 20%, hitting the highest since July of 2022. But our energy secretary, we interviewed him last week. He was all over the shows this weekend. Chris Wright, he says this is all temporary. And the president says the oil prices will drop rapidly when the destruction of the Iran nuclear threat is over. It's a small price to pay for the United States and the world for safety and peace.
So, Brian, you did a phone interview with the president of the United States. What is his read on this?
You would need to have visual confirmation or activity patrol the strait if they want to actively destroy shipping. Listen, here's the problem, okay? Iran will always have the final say on whether or not we can have oil from the Middle East because Iran is a very large country with a lot of productive capabilities that is capable of permanently threatening oil production and shipping in the region. It doesn't matter if they target one in every one or one in every 10 or one in every 100 full oil tankers. A single full oil tanker going up in flames is a massive financial and ecological disaster. A single Shahed drone into an oil field is a massive ecological and financial disaster. It could take a month, it could take a year. Unless Iran is pacified, there will never be truly safe oil production from the Middle East. And you have to factor in something else. The more Iran is able to shut down oil production in the Middle East, the more Russia benefits because its exports get more valuable. And the more money Russia gets from its exports, the more it's able to help fund Iran, which means Iran can produce more drones. So there's a adversarial relationship here that means that Iran effectively through its alliances and its proximity to the Gulf has the ability to shut down like half of the world's oil production like that. They can do it if they want. The only way to keep that from happening is to not have Iran be mad at us. And the only way to have Iran not be mad at us is to stop what we're doing, okay? At the great American myth for, you know, decades now has been that we can meddle in the affairs of lesser countries indefinitely with no knock-on effects, that there are no externalities, we can do whatever we want. We can run as many coup attempts as we want, we can bomb as many countries as we want, we can invade and conquer and threaten and beleaguer, we can overturn a whole country, it doesn't matter, right? We can do anything we want with no consequences at home. And for the most part, that has been correct because we are very powerful. But this time, we're just too dependent on oil. The funny thing is, we actually could meddle in the Middle East, like basically for free, if we wanted to, if we had just invested in green energy more effectively back in the early 2000s when solar really started to pick up. Like, if we had really kicked into it the way that China has, American energy would basically be, I'm not saying we'd be totally independent, but like to a large extent we would be, and we could actually meddle more effectively, but we're still very much tied. Also, international oil trade reinforces U.S. financial hegemony because of the petrodollar. So we actually benefit from global dependence on oil. All of the oil that comes out of Saudi Arabia and such, it's traded in dollars, which means that if countries want to buy that oil, they need to use our currency. And in order for them to get our currency, they have to invest in the American treasury or in the market so they can get US dollars. The whole thing benefits us. It's a big scheme. Oil prices already falling. Oil prices are falling right now because the because the market is responding to the fact that the G7 and the United States are talking about opening up their strategic reserves. But keep in mind that our strategic reserves can only sustain us for a couple of weeks. If we use them to supplement existing trade, a couple of months. But what we've done in the Middle East is going to have downstream effects for months. The price dropping doesn't reflect a lowered tension in the Middle East. It reflects an oversupply because of the potential of the strategic reserves being opened up. Does that make sense? How's OPEC going to respond to this? I can't imagine they're happy with Iran. Well, they're not happy with us, actually. There's talk in many Gulf states, well, four Gulf states, I should say, of divesting from America because they're considering, they are making the same realization as us. Saudi Arabia and the UAE and stuff do not want war with Iran. In fact, they want regional stability so badly that Saudi Arabia stopped bombing Yemeni orphanages. Do you know how hard that is for Saudis to not bomb Yemeni orphanages? So even the relatively pathetic Houthis posed enough of a risk for regional instability that Saudi Arabia decided it just wasn't worth the trouble. You think they want war with Iran? No. It's the Middle East does not benefit from this instability. They're not opening the reserves for oil. They're not opening them yet, but they've talked about it. They don't want to because they know that once they open these up, they're probably not going to be able to refill them for a lower price than they filled them up for. I thought the Saudis hated the Iranian government. They do, but they also don't want people bombing their oil fields. Guys, the Gulf states' entire economy is built on being able to peacefully extract oil from their territory. If they can't do that because Iran's threatening them with ballistic missile strikes and Shahid drones, like one Shahid drone, $50,000. A Saudi oil field going up in flames, billions lit on fire. Not to mention the ecological consequences. And it's going to take weeks at least to put that fire out. Best case scenario. I mean, it depends on a lot of circumstances. It is not a viable financial scheme. This is the reason why we have invested so much in Middle Eastern stability in the countries we want to extract oil from. It's the reason why we've committed so much money and troops there. There are some kinds of natural resources you can extract very cheaply. Gold, diamonds. You get these mines in Africa where like Russian mercenaries essentially send people to their deaths to go mine them out of pits. It's very, very cheap and very easy to do this. It doesn't matter if a mine gets bombed, clear it out and do it again. But oil refineries and oil extraction, very delicate, very expensive process. Mining, we've been doing mining for millennia. That's easy, you know, just send people in there to die. But you can't just send people in there to mine oil. You can do that with coal, but not with oil. With oil, you need expensive, sensitive equipment. And if something goes wrong, you're in the shit. You can't ignore it either. A collapsed mine you can ignore, even if there are long-term ecological consequences. But a lit-on-fire oil field? You can't ignore it. You can't ignore that. Iran and Saudi Arabia may hate each other, but Saudi Arabia is aware of the fact that Iran's passivity is a prerequisite for continued oil extraction. Does that make sense? I hope everyone understands where we're coming from here. This is, from the perspective of the United States, Israel, and the Gulf states, literally unwinnable. In an economic sense, this is not winnable. The only shot we had at navigating this financially and coming out well on the other side would have been a real regime change. Somehow, some way, actually getting new leadership in Iran, and the IRGC would have bent the knee to them, and that would have been the end of it. But that was stupid to hope for, and it's not going to happen, and it's not happened, and it's over. That's done with. So really now it's just a matter of how hard we commit. Lindsey Graham is threatening Saudi Arabia now. That makes sense. The American embassy is being evacuated in Riyadh because of sustained attacks by Iran. It's my understanding the kingdom refuses to use their capable military as part of an attack. And the reason Saudi Arabia doesn't... Remember, allegedly, at the beginning of this conflict, Saudi Arabia contacted Iran and basically said, hey, listen, Iran, Israel and America are doing this. They want me to join, but I don't want to join. Is there a spot in the desert that I can bomb so it looks like I'm helping, but I'm not? Like, think about what that means for a second. Saudi Arabia, who is an enemy of Iran, contacted Iran and said, like, we don't want to incur your anger. We know our oil fields are vulnerable. Is there a way that we could, like, pretend to help America? And Iran refused, essentially putting Saudi Arabia in the implied position of, like, if they get involved, Iran will take it personally. Lindsey Graham is mad that Saudi Arabia doesn't want to get personally involved, but MBS is aware of the fact that if he does, Iran will retaliate. And those oil fields are pretty fragile. Dude, was the second Iraq war as bad as this in only a week? No, for a couple of reasons. Mostly being we prepared for it better, and Iraq wasn't in the same position to threaten regional stability in the same way. Also, Iraq just wasn't responsible for as much oil production as the Gulf states are now. There were major concerns, though. But like, yeah, Iraq was, you got to understand, man, they spent a year building up Iraq. Like, it didn't just happen out of nowhere. The United States government was essentially openly signposting the invasion. We voted on it in Congress. We talked to the United Nations. Colin Powell went out there and made arguments for them having weapons of mass destruction. Everyone knew what was happening and what was going to happen. Plus, the Iraqi military was pretty, you know, decimated from the Gulf War. They never recovered, so they were easy to decapitate again. We had a Congress back then? Yeah, but, you know. Why would Saudi Arabia care to pretend like they're helping US/Israel in this instance? Because they don't want to make Iran angry at them. Iran didn't happen out of nowhere either. It's been building up for two decades. You don't understand the comparison. With Iraq, Bush basically said, we are going to invade them. Everyone get ready. Like a year beforehand. With Iran, there's been tension building up, but what happened still came out of basically nowhere. There was a couple weeks lead up. And then America's excuse was that Israel was going to bomb them anyway, so we had to join to defend our bases after Iran reprised. Everything is so stupid now. I mean, it always was stupid, but that's not my question. If Saudi Arabia doesn't want to piss off Iran, what do they gain by assisting the US at all? They're not. Right now, Saudi Arabia isn't really doing much to help. Oh, you mean like, why would they even pretend to bomb Iran? Because Saudi Arabia does need to maintain its good relationship with Israel and America. Saudi Arabia's tense, positive relationship with Israel is a prerequisite for regional stability. And also, Saudi Arabia doesn't want to fight with Israel either. But also, you'll never guess which country is included in the borders of Greater Israel, right? Saudi Arabia is in this weird position where, like, we need stability in order to get the oil out safely, but also we're surrounded by people who hate us, and those groups hate each other too, so they keep asking us to get involved in the conflicts with the other groups that hate us, but we hate the people asking us to get involved with the other people who hate us. Honestly, it sucks. I do not envy Saudi diplomats. They don't have an easy job. Deserved fate? Yes. Holy shit. 8.7K comments, 6.6K likes on this. Jesus Christ. Iran says it's ready for a long war with the US and that only economic pressure will get the US to stop bombing them. Yeah. Yeah, of course. 100%. Ah, we love a good interview. Hold on.
Fred Plotkin is reporting in Tehran. He has an exclusive interview now with Kamal Harassi, who is the foreign policy advisor to the Supreme Leader. CNN is operating in Iran with the permission of the Iranian government, but maintains full editorial control over what it reports. Have a look at this.
It's so cool how Iran lets Western reporters into Tehran, but Israel blocked reporters from the Gaza Strip and then killed hundreds of them, just directly targeting reporters' houses with drone strikes, including killing employees of CNN, CBS, UN workers. Super cool.
Iran has a new supreme leader. What does that mean for your military effort and the confrontation with the United States and Israel?
That means the system is quite functioning.
So the United States says it's drastically degraded the Iranian military, the capabilities as far as missiles is concerned, drones is concerned. How much longer can you do this?
That is one of the false narratives that the United States government is producing. Iranian military is quite strong, as you see, because they have the motivation, they have the arms that they need, which are produced in Iran. As a matter of fact, we are not dependent on any other country for weapons.
Like, to give you guys a good understanding of how unwinnable this war is from an American slash, like, Saudi Gulf state perspective, Iran has sent out some thousands of Shahed drones, whereas estimates of their reserves indicate that they have multiple tens of thousands, some estimates over 50,000. That's how much they have. They're holding those drones everywhere. They're drones. They're not missiles. You know, they're not just kept in the back of trucks or in silos. They can be kept in many, many places. They can be kept in garages, potentially, all over the country. And it's a big country, a big mountainous country. And they've been stockpiling them for a long time. Keep in mind that a Shahed drone only costs around $50,000. That's nothing. For a drone? For a drone that can potentially light an oil field, that's nothing. I heard it's more like 20. I'm sure it varies. 20 to 50. It's not very much. That is a wild ROI. Yeah. 20,000, the American variant costs 50,000. Yeah. We're kind of in like a modern long-range equivalent of when firearms were invented, right? And then all of a sudden body armor became useless. There was a window of time where a person in full plate armor was like a big threat. And then we invented guns that could punch through even the thickest armor. Usually, even the thickest armor with no training. And then all of a sudden people stopped wearing armor to war. You know, the Revolutionary War did not have people showing up in full plate. Likewise, drones are incredibly cheap, incredibly accurate, you know, relative to the kind of equipment they use. And they can just show up anywhere. Must have sucked for the first guy to lose to a gun. I still feel bad sometimes for that one guy that Indiana Jones shot in the first movie. Remember, he had the swords and then Indy just shot him. I feel bad for him a little bit. That guy probably trained like for a long time. That guy did have a lot of aura. Sucks. Oh, anyway.
Arms.
So your side is ready for a long war if the United States and Israel choose that. Do you consider this an existential threat to the Islamic Republic?
It is an existential threat to the Islamic Republic, and therefore we have to stay with full might, as we are doing now.
Is your side seeking, or will you seek, a ceasefire with the United States at this point in time and with Israel?
I don't see any room for diplomacy.
People did wear body armor in World War I, though. Can you stop? The comparison that I was making was salient. Don't argue with me on the specifics, okay? Shut up.
Anymore. Because Donald Trump had been deceiving others and not keeping with his promises. And we experienced it in two times of negotiations, that while we were engaged in negotiation, they struck us.
How?
Iron Dome interceptors are 100K to 150K according to Wikipedia. Yeah, but like that undersells the problem here. For one, Iron Dome interceptors only cover a very specific range of munitions, and even then they require like a full spread of coverage around the state of Israel. And Israel is tiny. If we might, let's pull up the map. So here we have the Gulf, the Strait of Hormuz, Bahrain, UAE, Saudi Arabia, Dubai. Dubai in big letters. Evil, evil city. And as you can see, Iran is very big. Saudi Arabia is big, but it doesn't really count because most of it's like unlivable desert. It's not great. Most of this is just not good. Now, if we take a look down here at Israel, you might notice it's very small. It takes an enormous amount of money to protect Israel through the Iron Dome system. That's just to cover this area. Can you please tell me what kind of technology would be necessary to protect the entirety of the Gulf state oil production from Iran? I mean, it might be possible, But oh my God. Holy shit, that would be expensive. I mean, can you imagine? Yeah, we need the Golden Dome. Exactly. There we go. Yeah, now you can see the Saudi Arabian desert and how mountainous Iran is. Sheesh. Economically, it'd break America. Yeah, we'd basically be doing like a missile blockade across, I don't know, like 600 miles of Gulf. Watching the interceptors work, it takes more than one to take out a single drone as well. Yeah, just not doable. So much oil over here. Look at this. Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, UAE, Saudi Arabia, all of it just right here next to Iran. I just want to reinforce the idea that, like, there's really nothing that we can do to prevent Iran from single-handedly threatening the stability of long-term oil production in the Gulf. They could mine the strait. What if we just built a very tall wall across the Persian Gulf right here so that the drones can't go over it? Because it's too high up.
Does all of this end then? If you say right now there's no room for negotiation, President Trump says he wants complete surrender. What does that lead to?
There's no room unless the economic pressure would be built up to the extent that other countries would intervene to guarantee this termination of aggression of Americans and Israelis against Iran.
Where did you hear about the whole Israel or U.S. might nuke Iran thing? Well, I didn't hear about it. I think there's a possibility of Israel nuking Iran because Israel's insane. Right now, economic pressure dictates that America eventually relent. But the hardliners in Israel, I don't know if they could accept that. Like, Israel also wants Lebanon, but I don't know. Like, there are a lot of people in Israel who would lose their minds if there was a widespread narrative that Iran won and was able to resist American and Israeli bombing campaigns, which so far it seems like Iran is winning by that standard because they have a new, you know, Khamenei in charge, and he's even more to the right than the previous one. Like, by what metric has anything been? I know that for the most part, Israelis just want death, but I think they also want a narrative of victory. And in this case, they're not getting it. So maybe they just, I don't know. I don't think it's likely they use a nuke, but I don't think there's a 0% chance. We'll also see if Trump does the big funny and does a ground invasion. Now, you guys are going to have to help me here. Where is the island? That island that has a lot of the Iranian oil production on it. Could you direct me to it? Is it this? Karg, that's what it's called. Kerg? No? Down? Okay. Near Iraq. Ah! Yes, this is what Trump and some very crazy military officials are considering. Oh, look, you can actually just see the depots here. This is a base for oil production, refinement, and processing for Iran. And I believe that this would be the first target we would do an on-the-ground invasion of, probably because it would give us the potential of seizing their oil rather than merely destroying it. Is Iranian oil good? Yeah, it's better than Venezuelan oil. I don't think this is really possible, though. Like, a ground invasion here? Iran would pepper the Gulf with drones. I don't know. Seems unlikely. What makes Shahed-type drones different/better than something like a cruise missile? A cruise missile costs like 1,000 times more. They seem fundamentally similar. I don't know why they'd be cheaper. Missiles are insanely expensive. Missiles are incredibly expensive. Missiles, like the structure, you need, it's, I mean, think of like how a missile is built and then think of how an RC car from Radio Shack is built, basically. Just the technology that drones use to move and the precision with which they can move is just so much. All that green in the desert? Yeah, of course. You have like the desert, but there's tons of green here. Iran is a beautiful country. Hopefully this reaffirms my point and isn't ugly. Okay, pretty ugly day. Pretty ugly here, not gonna lie. Not helping my point, but it is a beautiful country. Will this be prettier? That's pretty nice. Would love to bleed out here. Would love to be drafted to Gishardan and step on an IED here. Would love that. U.S. military is upset Israel's going too far. I don't believe any of this bullshit. There are plenty of officials in the Pentagon who are not happy with what's happening right now, but we heard this stuff all throughout Biden's term as well. Every day I had to suffer through articles like, you know, Biden feels Israel's gone too far, and then nothing actually happens or changes. If something happens, something happens. Otherwise, I don't really care. Trump said the war would be over soon. Yeah, of course he does. Of course he would say that. Why wouldn't he?
Developing this morning, we are hearing from President Trump on a spike in gas prices, which he says is short term, while almost everyone feeling the pain at the pump. The U.S.-Israeli conflict with Iran strangling the flow of tankers through the Strait of Hormuz, the critical waterway through which about a fifth of the world's oil flows. Oil topped $100 a barrel overnight for the first time in 4 years.
I'm paying $40, but that doesn't get me a full tank anymore.
They shouldn't go much higher than they are here because the world is very well supplied with oil.
Really? Of course they support them. Israel already wounded the new Ayatollah. What, did the new Ayatollah get wounded by the initial strike that killed his father? In one report on his ascension to supreme leader on Iranian state TV, it refers to him being wounded in the war. This only gives him more aura. The thing is, Iran can just keep putting up leaders. There's nothing we're going to do that at this point that is going to, like, pacify Iran. We can kill as many leaders as we want to. There's always another guy from the IRGC. There's always another distant relative. There's always somebody to put up there. The people of Iran are not going to rise up against their leadership. If anything, we've probably cemented another half century of Islamic rule. How hard is it for Chad to grasp the CIA and the Pentagon told Trump of all this, that the regime change wasn't going to happen and that the operation wouldn't work? Well, yeah, but we're, like, taking orders from Israel. So, you know, Trump's holding a press conference after the market closes today. Oh, God. After markets close on Monday. Jesus Christ. 5:30 p.m. PT. Okay, well, I'll be live for that. Nice. I mean, in the sense, how is Chad still thinking Trump can somehow pull out of this with a win? I like people who say that all of this was to distract from Epstein, as though this wasn't much more ruinous than the Epstein files. Like, oh no, the public is going to hear for the 400,000th time that Trump is a pedophile. Better double oil prices globally and get us embroiled in another occupational war in the Middle East. Like, that looks worse, man. No, the reason Trump invaded Iran is because, like, listen, the administration has been clear on why they did it. They did it for Israel. It's not a conspiracy theory. They literally said so. They said that they heard that Israel was going to strike Iran no matter what, so they had to get involved because they wanted to preemptively defend themselves against Iran counterstriking American bases in the region. Which is, in other words, we did it for Israel. Yeah, conspiracy fact. Exactly. Hold on, let me throw this over to the editors. But this is explicitly against U.S. interests. What is for the interests of the United States and for the interests of the elite cabal of pedophiles who rule over both countries are two very different things. Like, 2008 was against U.S. interests, but the elites let it happen anyway.